You're listening to The Dice Men Cometh, proudly sponsored by Area 52, Tasmania's largest independent pop culture retailer. Find them at 104 Elizabeth Street, Hobart, or online at area52.com.au.
The Dice Men Cometh!
Ah, yes, here I am. It's Thursday night here on Edge Radio, 99.3 FM. It's The Dice Men Cometh, or rather, it's A Dice Man Cometh tonight, for it's me, Mark, here in the studio, and I'm with no one else. It's just me. I'm here all by myself. Unfortunately, Leon's partner, Sarah, has come down with something, and it's Garth's wife, Joe's birthday, Garth's partner, Joe, birthday, so they've gone out to dinner and they left me here all alone by myself to do the show. Now, I'm going to try and pull it all together for you. Who knows what's going to happen? I did read about today on Facebook the Dunning-Kruger effect. It's a cognitive bias manifesting in unskilled individuals suffering from illusory superiority, mistakenly rating their ability much higher than is accurate. This bias is attributed to a metacognitive inability of the unskilled to recognize their ineptitude. And, look, that pretty much sounds like me. But luckily, I've got something here to amuse you in the show. I've got a pre-recorded interview with Ella from Ella Loves Board Games, who was lucky enough to make it to Gen Con. She's just come back. I spoke to her yesterday, and she's going to fill us in all about what happened at Gen Con, what she saw there, who she spoke to, the games she played and didn't play. I'm going to have that for you. I'm also going to tell you about the Kangaroo Award finalists, if you haven't heard about those. And then I've got some news coming out of Gen Con about new game releases and other things. If we run out of time, well, we'll just stop there. I've also got some great music because, you know, now that Garth and Leon aren't in the studio, I can do anything I like. Now, the first thing I'd like to do is say thank you so much to Area 52, our amazing sponsors at 104 Elizabeth Street. Get in there for your board games, your card games, your jigsaws, your books, your manga, your comics, your posters, and all other geek culture things that you might want. They do a fantastic job. I just popped in there the other day and picked up myself a copy of Sagrada, the great dice placement game of building stained glass windows. They provided me with that. Thank you so much, Area 52. Back to the music. I think I'm just going to play a special little song dedicated to Leon's wife, Sarah. I hope she's feeling better soon. There you go. The lovely Sarah Smile by Hall & Oates here on Edge Radio 99.3 FM, dedicated, of course, to Leon's lovely wife, Sarah. Hope she's feeling better. And happy birthday to Joe as well. Hope you're having a nice dinner out with Garth and the family while I'm here doing my work in the studio. Now, as I said, I had a chat to Ella from Ella Loves Board Games this week. But before we go to that, look, I think I'd just brief you all. We've had the first ever Kangaroo Award finalists announced. Now, the Kangaroo Award is a tabletop games award, so not just board games, but tabletop games, and it's for Australian producers, so it could be an Australian artist, Australian game designer, Australian producer, any, as long as there's Australian input into the game, it can be nominated or it can be considered for a Kangaroo Award. And this is an award presented by media content producers. So you've got us here at the Dice Men. You've actually got Ella from Ella Loves Board Games. We've got Matt from the Campaigner magazine. We've got a few others. And you can check us out on the Kanga Facebook page if you want to find out more. But we announced, of course, the finalists in the Best Visuals categories include Lisboa, Lady and the Tiger, Crystal Clans, and Skyward. So four great games there that look absolutely beautiful. We've got the Best Gameplay finalist. We've got Baron Park. We've got Lisboa again, Crystal Clans again, and Skyward again. So we've got a few repeat offenders here. And the Game of the Year, which sort of combines visuals, production quality, and gameplay, we've got Baron Park, Lisboa, Rain, and Entropy. So those are the Kanga finalists for 2018, and we will be announcing the winners in October, hopefully just before PAX or even at PAX. We will be refining those, playing those a few more times and making a decision about those, all of us judges. As I said, included in the judges is Ella. And now she's here to tell us all about the first part of her trip to Gen Con.
So I'm so pleased and excited now to be talking with the famous Ella from Ella Loves Board Games, who has just come back only a day or so ago from Gen Con in Indianapolis in the US. Now, Ella, have you been catching up on your sleep?
I have. I actually just woke up. I think it's been 12 hours. I didn't do a lot of sleep at the con, that's why.
I can imagine there's so much to do there. Now, we want to find out all about it. We'll just get you to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself first, though. So, was this your first Gen Con?
It was. I've actually been, I'm a newbie. I just started with board games last year in February, and I've been going to cons, so this is my first time.
And I believe you have also been to Origins this year, was that right?
Yes, I've been to Origins, to SaltCon in Salt Lake City. So this is my third international con.
Oh, wow. So do you want to tell us, so how do the three compare?
It's pretty easy to compare. So SaltCon, the first one I went to, is a playing con. It's also smaller. And all you do there, although there are still a few vendors, it's really not a trade show. Origins is a bit bigger. It's a mix of, there's areas where you can play. But it's also a trade show. The biggest so far that I've been to is Gen Con, and that's straight up trade show. There are not a lot of areas to play in. There is a bigger area. It's open 24 hours, but it's more, I found that I played less at Gen Con than in any other con, just because there's so much to see.
Do you think a lot of people are playing in their hotel rooms and things like that, maybe away from the con floor?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Although there's a big area, it's more really set up as a trade show than anything.
Just go back to SaltCon for a minute. How big would SaltCon be?
SaltCon would be I'm not sure. Do not quote me on this. It's around 3,000, I think.
Okay, yeah, and then Origins?
30,000, and then Gen Con would be double that, around 70. That's turnstile.
Wow.
So, yeah, how many people are going through the doors. Yeah, pretty big.
Wow, that's massive. And Gen Con runs over about 4 or 5 days, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's the longest one. So it starts at Thursday, although I was there Monday. So it starts at Thursday to Sunday.
Do you want to talk us through what the program is over the days?
Yeah, so I didn't actually do this, but a lot of people, what happens with Gen Con is not unlike SaltCon, where you can just go to panels. You have to schedule your events at Gen Con, so you have to buy tickets for them. They're not very expensive. They're around $2, but you have to get those tickets early on, and they sell out pretty fast. Like, for example, the event for Final Fantasy where they announce all those cool things, you had to sign up for that, and it goes away pretty quickly, like in minutes, those tickets.
Okay, you mean Fantasy Flight?
Yes, sorry, what did I say?
You said Final Fantasy.
Yeah, no,
that's okay. Leon's a huge Final Fantasy fan.
I am too. Yeah, Fantasy Flight. So those events you have to pay tickets for.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to sign up for them.
So do I understand is there a day when they have briefings for the media? You mean you are board game media now, aren't you?
Yeah, there are. It's the same as buying tickets for events, but also like there was an event for CMON. You get invites for that. But most of the time, I just schedule it through email. I ask them what the schedule is, and I sign up. Some people have, calendars that they send out, and then you sign up for them for media interviews. But, yeah, so everything is scheduled because it's very hectic.
Yeah, it seems like it's nonstop announcements over the weekend.
Oh, yeah, there are tons of announcements. Everybody was excited. And especially with the announcement for Gloomhaven. So Gloomhaven is now an app. No, everybody was excited. Isaac Childress is working with Rob Davio for the Dark Tower game. So tons of announcements at Gen Con.
Oh, okay. Let's get into some of those. So you got there on the Monday. Do you have friends in Indianapolis?
I do. So my friends were the people who are running Mayday Games.
Okay.
Yeah. So I hung out with them. And so I was there. I learned from Origins because I come from all the way from Australia. So it takes a while to adjust to the time.
Yes.
So I realized that I had to come earlier because before I came on time and then it just hurt. It hurt.
It takes a good couple of days, doesn't it, to get used to the time because it really knocks you around.
Yeah, because it's opposite. So their morning is our evening.
Okay, so you had friends from May Day Games. Did you spend some time on their booth or was it just like they were the friends you game with?
So they're, I met them at SaltCon. So they're friends I game with. I didn't really help at the booth, so I helped them a little bit set up. But most of the time I was just hanging out in between when I was interviewing people.
Okay.
Yeah, they were kind enough to give me, help me out.
Nice. And so you are also, I mean, you're into everything, but you're also officially part of Man/Woman versus Meeple. Is that right?
I'm a contributor, yes. I'm not, I don't know if I'm officially part of Man versus Meeple, but yeah, I contribute a few videos here and there.
So when do we expect them to change their name to Person versus Meeple or Gamer versus Meeple, something like that?
No, nothing is official. It's okay. More they're trying to bring in more people in. So I don't want to say it yet.
How did you get to meet Jeremy and David? Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Just by being on Twitter and Instagram. So being out there talking about my games, they noticed and yeah, they asked me to contribute.
Okay, and did you hang out with him much at Gen Con?
I did. David. So it was actually Jeremy's birthday during that week. So I got to play with him all night on his birthday. And I also got to do a thing with them at their studio. I can't say what it is yet.
Oh.
It's a surprise. Yeah. But I did get to shoot something with Blue Peg Pig Peg. So that's a podcast, Ed, with Isaac. So
oh,
we
nice.
Were there. Yeah, it was pretty cool. I got to see the behind the scenes. So their studio is pretty amazing.
Tell us about the experience of walking around with the Man versus Meeple guys.
Yeah, with David, he had Kickstarter backers, and I was able to play with one of them because what they do during the con is they play games with their backers. So I was able to play Castles of Burgundy, and when they were rocking around, basically people were throwing games at them.
Oh, wow.
They're pretty famous, but yeah, so yeah. I was just happy to tag along for the ride.
A lot of their stuff, though, seems to be, or I guess the stuff of theirs that I see is the paid Kickstarter previews and the paid reviews. They don't seem to do so much of the sort of unpaid stuff. Is that right?
No, not really, because they have Chit Chat, which is like where they talk about anything under the sun. So last time, most of the videos I watched are basically them talking about why they love the hobby. So they've talked about what it is to be at the con. They've compared big cons to small cons. They've talked about hidden gems and stuff like that. They talked about Marvel movies. So that's actually one of their best programs that's my favorite. It's called Chit Chat. So it's not all paid previews.
Okay, maybe I haven't caught up with that one. So obviously you spent a bit of time with them. Now, what other gaming celebrities did you meet and hang out with at Gen Con?
Oh, tons. So like at Origins, I visited the Board Game Geek booth. So I saw Rodney, who is like a ray of sunshine always. He's just so nice and funny, and he gives great advice. I remember when my first video came out, and I was a bit bummed because there are a lot of bad comments. He said that I should see it as, you know, I shouldn't look at them as peers, but just people who are commenting, and I shouldn't take them personally. So a lot of good, you know, advice from he's been in the hobby for longer than I, and he's had a big channel, so he has more experience than me when it comes to dealing with, you know, bad feedback or bad comments.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't take it personally.
Did you get to play with him at all?
No, it's pretty I didn't even get to play at all.
Oh.
I mean, I would say that I played maybe 4 or 5 games.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I hung out with Isaac also.
Isaac Childress, Gloomhaven.
Yes.
designer. Wow.
Yes. Oh, yes. My goodness. We're like buddies. We're food buddies because he's vegan. So that's how we... I also met Paul Grogan, who is like... I'm a big fan of his. He's like the best teacher around. So of gaming rules video. Yeah.
Oh, he does the gaming rules vids. Is that right?
Yes, yes. So okay. He's... I have been stalking him online for a long time. He's the one who taught me my favorite game through the ages. So just a few of the people I met. It's very surreal because you see them as, you know, I'm a fan, but when you meet them, they're just ordinary, great people.
And they're probably fans of yours as well.
Oh, I doubt it.
And so just back to Isaac for a second. So mm-hmm. Is he just having people fawning over him the whole time? What's it like to hang around him?
Yeah. People stop him and tell him, like, even like, for example, we'd be at a pub dancing and people would come up to him and say, "You're my favorite designer of all time. Gloomhaven is the best." And he's pretty shy. So he gets a bit embarrassed of the attention. Yeah, but he's a great guy, so, yeah.
Did you talk to him much? Just because I'm curious about him, as you said, he's achieved so much in such a little time, or at least publicly it's a little time. You know, Gloomhaven rocketed to number one on Board Game Geek, everyone talking about it. Did you spend much time talking to him? Did you interview him at all?
No, because he's my friend, it's weird to interview him. Yeah. No, I did not interview him. So I interviewed a lot of other people. Yeah.
Did he give you any insight into his world, what he's up to, how he feels about his game?
Yeah. I've asked him a few questions about how it came about, like how he got the idea for Gloomhaven. I remember he was saying that he played this computer game and there was, you know, a choice because of the cards, right? There's a top and a bottom. And part of that game was that. And so it was inspiration. I forgot the name of the game. So I do ask him a little bit about how he came. Because I'm pretty curious about the design process. Yeah, and things like that. So I would ask him that. Yeah.
I saw a picture now. I can't remember if it's Gen Con or that was somewhere else. Where did you play Founders of Gloomhaven with Isaac?
No, I did not. I played Gaia Project Isaac. But there was a game beside me where Paul Grogan was teaching... Secret Cabal, which is
I know those guys.
They were playing Founders of Gloomhaven. I did play Gaia Project with him because that's his favorite game of all time. Yeah, he would play that over and over. No, it's just that I admire him because he doesn't have FOMO. I was asking him if he had FOMO because I do, like fear of missing out. Because he doesn't buy new. I didn't see him buying any new games, and he says that if I have something I love, why would I buy something else and gamble on it. That's why he plays Gaia Project all the time. Every con he plays.
It's such a huge challenge in our hobby, isn't it? Because you look at the latest, newest, shiny games. They look like they're going to be fun. Yeah. They look like they're going to be better than some older games. We actually just had an experience where after our show on Thursdays, we usually go back to Trent's place and we play a game. And because we've had lots to talk about lately, we actually got a little bit of breathing space. We played El Grande. Have you ever played that?
Oh, yes. That's a magnificent game.
And, you know, here's a game that is from, I think, 1995. It's like so old, and we had so much fun, and it just has not lost anything over time. In fact, it makes you, I think, respect how clean and neat and elegant it is. But so often those games get lost in the past because we've got all the new stuff coming out.
Yeah, that's true. That's one of my favorites. Like, I still believe it's the best air control games just because how elegant it is.
Okay, now back to famous people. So we were talking about Isaac. So who other of your heroes did you meet?
That was it. So Paul Grogan. Yeah, that was it. But then there are a lot of other people on Instagram that I, more than the celebrities, it's fun to meet the people that you just talk to online. So Jack of Board Game Geek CA, and I met Board Game Librarian, so she contributes to the Dice Tower. Yeah, her name is Jen. She's awesome. She was just so nice, and we got to hang out at the, because there are food trucks outside. So more than the celebrities, really, it's the people, that you interact with online that I found.
Did you meet up with the guys from No Pun Included?
No, I did not. They were not there. Shut Up and Sit Down was there. Yeah, but I was too shy to say hello to them. They were at the Ravensburger. Oh, sorry, that Ravensburger booth. Am I saying that right?
Ravensburger, same thing. Depends if you're German or not.
Because I was waiting for a copy of Rise of Queensdale, which is like the new legacy game from the brands. Yeah, I'm excited to play that. And I saw them there. Yeah, I didn't say hi.
Yeah, I mean, look, we refer to them a lot. They are certainly one of the leading lights in the hobby, that's for sure. Although I must admit, I have really been enjoying, no pun included's videos. I think Efka is very funny. And Elaine has a very dry wit. Okay, and what about, did you meet any of the big ones? So you met Rodney. Did you meet Rado or Tom Vassell or anyone like that?
No, Rado was not there. Tom Vassell was there. I didn't. I saw him walking around because the his foundation was there. So there was a booth outside where he would go. And I just got to see him walking around. I did meet him at Origins because they were interviewing a lot of people, Man vs. Yes. People. And I got to hang out with him. So their studio was above the Ooh. Convention, like a separate booth. Yeah, so I got to meet him there. Eric Lang, he was debuting a new game. I got to hang out near him. I didn't talk to him. He was, so there was a CMON convention. No, not convention, CMON event at a restaurant. So a lot of the events were at restaurants in different places. So I got to meet, look at famous people.
Look from afar.
I did talk to a few from the Dice Tower, so Jason, because they were at the CMON event.
Hey, did you see my old buddy that I've never actually met face-to-face, but he's been so great to me, Stephen Conway from The Spiel? He would have had a white jacket on with brightly coloured meeples all over it. Did you catch sight of him?
No, I did not. I did see The Spiel booth, but no, I did not, yeah.
Thank you so much, Ella. We're going to come back with the second part of that interview in a moment. Just before I go to a break, though, I thought I'd mention one of the things that is awarded every year, or in fact just before Gen Con, is the Diana Jones Award. Now, the Diana Jones Award is an annual award for excellence in gaming. It's quite unusual because it's not not normally given to a specific game. It can be awarded, as it says on Wikipedia, to a person, product, publication, company, organization, event, or trend. And in fact, past winners are 2005 Ticket to Ride, 2009 Dominion, 2010 Board Game Geek website itself, 2013 the web series Tabletop, and in fact, last year, Gen Con itself, the game convention where the award is presented, was the winner. Well, this year, they announced that Actual Play was the winner of the award and exemplifies excellence in gaming. Now, what they mean by Actual Play, it's a movement within hobby games in which people record and broadcast their gaming sessions. Now, particularly in this case, it's tabletop role-playing games that are being recorded over the internet. So things such as Critical Role, also things that people are doing on Twitch. And hopefully we, here at the Dice Men and some of our other fellow Kanga judges, are hoping we might be able to record some gameplay on things like Tabletopia and put that over Twitch. Also shortlisted for the 2018 Diana Jones Award were the 200-word RPG Challenge, Analog Game Studios, which is a journal about gaming, Charterstone, the legacy board game designed by Jamie Stegmaier and published by Stonemaier Games that I have been really enjoying and looking forward to telling you all about down the track, and Harlem Unbound, a role-playing game supplement. Don't even know what that one's about, but he got a mention as well. Anyway, I've got a special song here for Leon and Garth, and when we come back, we'll have the second part of the interview with Ella. A special song that goes out to Leon and Garth. I like you better when you're not around. That's one of my favourites. And the person that I always get bagged about playing, I don't know why, she's so lovely, Kate Miller-Heidke here on Edge Radio 99.3 FM with the Dice Men Cometh. Or in fact, tonight I'm the Dice Man Cometh because I'm here flying solo because Leon and Garth have got better things to do. Thank you so much again to our great sponsors, Area 52. Get in there and buy all your pop culture ephemera. They've got some amazing books about rock music and movies and all sorts of things. The guys in there, Schwartz and the team, they will be sure to look after you. Now let's go and listen to the second part of my interview with the lovely Ella from Ella Loves Board Games.
So what exciting new games have you seen and are you excited about from the con?
Yeah, so I had a list and I only got, I think the one that I on the list that I got was Rise of Queenstale because I'm excited about that. It was hard for me to get the other games. Coimbra I wanted to get and I missed. I also missed getting Newton just because you had, what this is the process. So they sell it at 10 a.m. and everybody lines up. Even if I had an exhibitor badge, I could go early. They don't sell it early. If you're there early, you kind of have to go around the booth and stalk them. But yeah, I wasn't able to get one because I was at interviews, so I could not line up at 10. But I was excited about that, yeah.
So there, you always see pictures of massive lines for things. So what sold out really quickly that you were aware of?
Yeah, Newton sold out every day. They only had a few copies. They would sell, I think, 33, and that would be sold out. People lined up. Coimbra sold out. There was a few. I think Villainous was also very famous. What are the other ones that had a buzz?
Did Fantasy Flight have any of the... what's it called?
Keyforge.
Keyforge, that's right.
Yeah, I knew they had an event and a lot of people got a few of the cards there. But yeah, I don't think it sold out. They had enough. Because the idea, the other people who were selling out, it's because they had limited stocks. Yes. I think the other booths did not. So yeah, I think they had enough. I saw those decks. They were amazing. So they were, Keyforge is a unique deck per packet. So I don't know how they do that. I don't know what the...
It's like a print on demand or something like that, because even the backs of the cards are like personalized.
Yeah, it's actually pretty amazing. So I don't know. Yeah, they're secret.
We'll hear a lot more of that soon. So any other games that you're excited about? Maybe you probably haven't had a chance to look at them yet, but you've bought back from Gen Con?
Yeah, I'm a big choose-your-own-adventure type of person. So I went to the Van Ryder booth and I interviewed them. So AJ, I interviewed AJ, who is like the, I think, president of the owner of Van Ryder Games. So I took home their graphic adventure novels because I've heard so many good things about them. And I think it's a great, new thing in the hobby, these adventure games. So I'm keen to play that.
Yeah, I think Leon may have just got his delivery of those, so hopefully we might get a chance to play some of those. Who else did you interview?
Oh, a ton. So I interviewed Andres. He taught me how to pronounce his name. So it's Andres, but said in a certain way. So he's from Ravensburger, and I interviewed him about the Rise of Queenstale. Yeah, because that's pretty unique, like a Euro game that's legacy. That's a legacy game. So I saw that. So I talked to him about how that worked. So it's a dice drafting, dice placement game because it's by the brands. And that's one of my favorite mechanics. So I was pretty excited about that.
Yeah, well, Inca and Marcus Brand, we just spoke to them recently. We spoke about them, recently on our show. And it's like they cannot put a foot wrong. Everything they put out just seems to turn to gold at the moment.
I know, and it's all different games, right? It's, the exit games, that's pretty different. And now they have this, They have no niche. They can do everything.
No. What was the other one I played of them recently? Murano. They're doing really well. Were they there?
No, they weren't there. Simone Luciani was there. So he's made Lorenzo Il Magnifico, and his new game Newton is there. But I wasn't able to interview him. I interviewed, somebody else from Cranial Creations. Yeah.
Anyone else you interviewed? And were these video interviews or just audio?
I did video interviews. So I also interviewed from TMG. I interviewed Jeff Engelstein. So he has a new game trading on Tigris, I don't know. So that's a bit of a spoof on Trading on the Mediterranean games. So it's a bit of a mix of everything. Yeah, so I was able to interview them.
What was he like?
Oh, he was great. He was just, Ryan Slurm was also there. So he's a co-designer. And they were great. They were just, I always expect them to be like, because they're famous people, to be celebrities. But they're just plain Joes.
Yes.
They're just people like us who happen to be designing new games. Yeah. I also met, I hung out with a lot of Aussies.
Yeah, who was there? What Australians were there that you saw?
Just the publishers. So from Rule and Make. So so the Rule and Make guys were there.
And they had Hand of Fate. And I saw Barantis was dressed up as the dealer, running people through Hand of Fate. That looked awesome.
David from Guerrilla Games was there. I interviewed him about, so he's debuting Yellow and Yangtze. He also had Kashgar there. Yeah, also Good Games was there. So a lot of the Aussies were there. Dan from Starling Games was there. And I got to hang out with him. And Martin Wallace was there. I got to see him on Open Brass for the first time because he flew in before opening his copy of Brass. So he actually unboxed it for the first time at the con. And I took a video of it.
I did see your video of that. Look, he didn't seem that excited about anything really, which I was quite surprised about, apart from the chips, which the chips look amazing.
No, he loved
that
it.
Game.
That's him being excited.
Oh, really?
No, he's very, very happy about Brass. It's beautiful. And I think, it's one of the, he's very proud of it, he said.
Have you played Brass?
I have. So I did, I played Birmingham at SaltCon. Yeah. And that's just an amazingly just tight game where every decision counts. I think it's going to rocket to my number one, in fact, with more plays, I feel.
Okay. Is Birmingham, you have to excuse me, because I've played the original.
Lancashire.
So Lancashire is the original one, and then Birmingham is the changed one, or the different one, is it?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Because I think Shut Up and Sit Down, I remember them saying they preferred the new version
Birmingham
better than the sort of the original, yeah.
I haven't played Lancashire, so I can't compare them. But yeah, okay. I did like Brass Birmingham a lot, like a lot.
Understand Lancashire is a lot tougher, very unforgiving.
I have no idea, so I don't know. But I plan on playing them both more than once, so I'll be ready to talk about that. Yeah.
Any other games that you were really excited to see there?
I did play Escape Plan. I was pretty excited to play that because I'm a big Vital fan. And yeah, it's a different experience from his other games. It's pretty quick. I would say that if it's not your first time learning, it'll be around 90 minutes. And although it has a little bit, of a like a feel of his other games,
The Gallerist? Vinhos?
Yeah, like The Gallerist. It has a little bit, a bit of Vinhos and I'm trying to think of aspects of it that are similar, but it is a different feel. It's very tight. There are only a few rounds, and so basically the idea of the game is that you're stole money from a bank and you've hidden them throughout places where you live, like at shops and things like that. And now, because somebody snitched, the police are onto you, and you have to get the money back. And so you're running around town trying to get your money back and escape. And it's also a time period. So it's a limited set of rounds and you have to escape before the cops catch you or you lose all your money. So basically all your points are not counted if you don't escape, which is pretty harsh. That's a harsh game. Yeah.
Okay.
But we were all able to escape. So that was fun.
So what do you think was your number one highlight of Gen Con, Ella?
My number one highlight, that's pretty hard.
Okay, how about I'll give you a top three. How's that?
Top three,
Not necessarily in any order.
Number one would be just hanging out with people that I know online. And hanging out with Jack from, because we've been pretty close, just online talking. So that's Jack from Board Game Geek CA. Mm-hmm. And meeting Jen. From who's the board game librarian, and just playing with them and hanging out would be number one.
Yep.
Number two is just seeing all the games at different booths and getting to talk to the people who make them, and getting to know how they came about making those games is pretty cool. And three would be maybe eating.
Was the food good there?
Not as good as Origins, but good enough. We actually went to a Brazilian restaurant. So I thought I was, because I'm vegan. So I know. I thought that I was able to able to eat anything, but their salad bar was pretty amazing. Yeah.
Because there has been a lot of complaints in the past, I think, about, well, Gen Con and those big cons that, you know, it's hot dogs and fries and all that sort of stuff. And I've heard the food vans have made it a lot better.
Yeah, the food vans were pretty great. I don't know. We're spoiled in Melbourne. So I was like,
yeah,
was, so number one would be, yeah. Number one, hanging out. Number two, seeing the games. Number three would be food. Number one, hanging out actually with also from the May Day Games people. Because, yeah, Seth and Ryan are my besties. And I got to meet their team also. So John D, yeah, and Brian. And they were great. So I think that will be the highlight also, meeting my friends.
And when do you reckon your videos will be going up?
Oh, my videos. Oh, I just woke up, so I don't know. But I have to work. Yeah, I have to work because I brought home a ton of review for games to review. So I have to work.
Yes, it's a tough life being a board game reviewer, isn't it,
Emily? I know, so tough. I have to get to play all the games.
Now, can I ask you, so you've experienced like a couple of big cons. You've also experienced, obviously, you know, BorderCon and ShepherdCon and those little ones, and SaltCon.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about the different style of cons, like sort of the big trade cons compared to the mostly sort of free play cons?
Not to disparage the big cons, but my favorites are the small cons where you just get to play. So I still have my heart is still with, like, my favorite is BorderCon.
Yes.
Just because, yeah, it's a local con, and it's just because all you get to do is play 24/7 if you can.
With famous podcasters.
Yeah, like the Dice Man.
Yeah, they're so cool, those guys.
Oh, they're awesome, yeah. I do like to see the games at Trade Show, but it was pretty hectic and pretty fast. Like, maybe if it stretched out to 10 days and you get to see all the booths, because I feel like I didn't, you know, if I had more days, I would have visited everything, but time is pretty limited.
And I guess, look, it's definitely a one-off thing that you really want to go there and see something like that. But what, sound like maybe you won't be going back to Gen Con next year? What do you think?
I might. It's still pretty important. But I think I'm looking into going to more playing cons like BGG Con or PAX Unplug, or even the Shut Up and Sit Down.
Shucks.
Yeah, I'd like to go to that.
In Vancouver, yeah.
Yeah, I know Shucks is, though, at the same time as Essen, so that's a bit of a choice, yeah.
Ah, okay. And that's the other one, obviously, is Essen, because Essen also clashes with PAX Australia now a bit.
I know, but I have to go to Essen.
So is that this year? You are going to Essen this year?
I am going to Essen this year.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Well, maybe you can be our Essen correspondent as well.
I can. Why not?
If you like.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So I'm now, am I officially, what do you call this? What do you call that when you're an official dice man?
A dice lady.
Yeah, dice lady.
A dice woman.
Dice person. Yeah. Yeah, am I? Are you offering me?
Well, you know, look, we have to talk amongst ourselves. Okay. Oh, it's not up to me to make a decision. Yeah, we're a democracy here at the Dice Man.
Oh, sure. No problem. I'd be happy to represent for you at Essen.
Oh, fantastic. Look, any last-minute thoughts you want to share, things that have popped into your head about Gen Con?
No, but I think that everybody should get a chance to go. It's pretty expensive, but it's such a unique experience. So
yeah.
I think that I was pretty lucky enough to go there, and I hope that everybody would be able to. I did see a few Australians there, like QC, and there are a few people there. So I
did you run into Terry and Marin?
No, I did not. I did not see them. QC, I ran into like four times. She was at every booth getting promos. She's promo queen, yeah.
Well, look, Ella, before you go, tell all our listeners where they can find out about you and get onto your content.
Sure. I'm Ella Loves Board Games on Facebook and on Instagram, so just search for that name. Mm-hmm. And on Twitter, I'm Ella Loves BG. So, because you can't really limited characters.
Yes.
Ella Loves BG. So check out my reviews on my YouTube channel also. That's Ella Loves Board Games. I only have one video out, but I'll be coming up with more.
And then obviously, are you going to be doing more stuff with Man versus Meeple?
Yes, a few. Yeah, I contribute a few videos here and there, and I'll be coming out with, I think, depends on their schedule.
Yep.
So their schedule is pretty hectic. So let's see. when it comes up.
Look, thank you so much for getting up out of bed to have a chat with us today. We really do appreciate it. Sounds to you like you had an awesome time, and thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thank you, Mark.
Bye.
Bye.
That was Ella from Ella Loves Board Games. I had a great chat with her yesterday about her Gen Con experience. I am so, so, so jealous of her. And look, you might hear more from her. As you said, as she said, she's heading off to Essen. She gets around to a lot of gaming conventions. So hopefully she can bring back some information, maybe even bring back some games for us. Hey, look, just before I go to another break, I thought I would just quickly mention a couple of Aussie Kickstarters that are wrapping up. The Unfair expansion from Joel Finch and Good Games Publishing. Look, it's got less than a day to go. So if you're listening to this on the podcast, too late, you probably missed out. But if you're listening live, it's not too late. Get on board. They're closing in on $250,000, which is awesome. Just for an expansion, I've taken the opportunity to pick up the base game and the expansion in this round. It's a great little game. We spoke about it a couple of weeks ago. Also, War of Supremacy by Nathan Everett and Lost Treasure Games. That one's funded now. It's over almost 15,000, well and truly funded, and some stretch goals being released. And if you're on the fence last time, you can get on it knowing now that it's going to be funded. And Escape Plan by Vital Lacerda and Ian O'Toole, the dream team behind The Gallerist and Lisboa, as you heard mentioned in all three categories of the Kanga Award. That one only has a day to go. They've raised almost $820,000. It looks awesome, as you heard Ella talk about it on her interview. She played it with Vital at Gen Con, and I think Garth has backed that one. So it's the dream team again. You can get on that one. As I said, if you're listening live, you've still got time. If you're listening to the podcast, it's too late, I'm afraid. I'll be back in a minute. It's just like they're haunting me even when they're not here in the studio. I'll be back in a minute to talk more about all the news from Gen Con.
G'day everyone, Garth here, live from the toilet. I've just thought I'd pause the app I'm playing at the moment to give a quick shout out to all our Patreon backers, because their money makes a huge difference to us. Every single dollar we get, we put back into the show. So far, it's allowed us to go to several conventions this year and also to be able to get enough money to keep creating great content for the show. I also wanted to give a big shout out to every new listener that we've got over the last several months who may not even know we have a Patreon now. If you feel like you've got a dollar or more burning a hole in your pocket every month and you just don't know what to do with it, jump on over to Patreon, search for The Dice Men Cometh, and no doubt your money will go to a great cause, which is getting us out there to more conventions. Every dollar we get goes back into the show. So we make zero money out of this. It goes to getting us to conventions, creating content, and making the show as good as it really can be. So look, anyway, I'm finished with my message now. Got to get back to the app. And thanks so much for listening.
You like games? Well, go play games. But when you're done, listen to The Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio.
Thank you very much, David Harding from Grail Games. He can't just get enough of The Dice Men Cometh. Hopefully you can't hear in Hobart, and live streaming out over the internet. We're on Edge Radio 99.3 FM, and we're very, very proudly sponsored by Area 52. Here in Hobart, it's Tasmania's leading pop culture store. You can get in there for all sorts of things, but primarily, of course, games, 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 because we can't get enough of those. I know you can't get enough of the news from Gen Con, so I've got a bit more here for you just before we finish up. So there were some big announcements at Gen Con. Fantasy Flight always have a big panel where they announce all the things that are coming. The first thing they announced, not in any order, they announced an expansion to the Game of Thrones board game called Mother of Dragons. It adds a whole extra board, which has the free cities of Essos. And so you get to play as those. You also get to, if you're the Targaryen, there's a whole new range of things that you can do. So very exciting news there. They announced a new mini now. I don't know if you can still call it a mini when it's 2 foot long. That is a Superstar Destroyer for the Star Wars Armada miniatures game. Have you ever seen anything like this? You've got to check it out online. It's amazing. A 2 foot long Superstar Destroyer. Also, they announced, much to the surprise of many and the dismay of Leon, Arkham Horror, the third edition of the Arkham Horror board game. Now, as you may know, Mansions of Madness, that's set in specific locations within the city of Arkham. Eldritch Horror, that spans the entire globe. Well, Arkham Horror has always been set right across the entire city of Arkham. So you move around the city to various locations. You also then go through gates that are spawned, traveling off into other dimensions to fight the ancient elder ones. Now, this third edition will combine mechanisms from the other Arkham Horror Files family of games, such as the very popular Arkham Horror LCG, but add some new twists not found in the others. One of the newest things that I noticed, one of the things that jumps out at you, is the modular board instead of the great big rectangular board. It now supports 1 to 6 players instead of 1 to 8 in the previous edition, but it still supposedly plays in 2 to 3 hours. I have never played a game of Arkham Horror that has gone anywhere near 2 to 3 hours. I think I once played a game that went for 7 hours and most of the rest of the people fell asleep. Anyway, that's scheduled for a fourth quarter 2018 release. Another one that took people by surprise, Machikoro Legacy. Pandasaurus Games announced Machikoro Legacy, a game designed by Rob Daviau, surprise there, and Saganuma-san, with artwork from Nobura Halter, the original Machikoro artists. Apparently, it's a really fun 10-mission campaign that leaves you with a fully playable game of Machikoro at the end. I don't know, are they stretching a bit there? Look, I have to admit, as I think I mentioned earlier, I'm really enjoying Charterstone. Just about to finish my campaign there. We've got a great little recharge pack from Stonemaier Games, and I'm looking forward to playing that with the other dice men. Now, Restoration Games announced they are producing Return to Dark Tower. Now, Restoration Games, they put out the Fireball Island game on Kickstarter just a little while ago, and they are specializing in rebooting these old properties from the 80s. It's owned, Restoration Games is owned by Rob Daviau, and he's got together with Isaac Childers, the multi-award-winning designer of Gloomhaven, to put together a new version of the Dark Tower, which was this thing from the 80s that had a massive big black tower in the middle. Now, the game strives to provide players with interesting choices about which quests to pursue, how to best use resources to keep the growing evil in check, and when to make that final decision to assault the tower. Let's have a look and see what they do with that one. And finally, Renegade Games is set to launch a new expansion line for Clank, Clank Expeditions. Now, they've announced the first one, Gold and Silk. It'll give 2 new maps and new meeples for your Clank adventures. Descend into the depths of the earth with Ruined Dwarven Mining Company to defeat the monsters and gather the riches that can be found there. Gain even more loot in the Spider Queen's Lair. So that's the second side of the board. So the expansion includes a 2-sided game board, 50 or more tokens, a market board, a spider marker, 4-player markers, and 1 rulebook. And I said last, but the one that I think that had everyone knocked off their socks, Asmodee Digital have enlisted developer Flaming Fowl Studios to adapt the immensely popular Gloomhaven board game for PC. It's set to be released on Steam in the last quarter of this year, and the digital adaptation of Isaac Childress' critically acclaimed board game will play out in a turn-based roguelike game with tactical gameplay. No longer do you need to imagine the world of Gloomhaven as the dungeons and monsters are rendered in stunning 3D graphics. Now, it's not clear if the mystery of unlocking the heroes and locations will follow the same system as the board game, but it appears they will all be available. Now, it is only going to be for PC and not Mac. Luckily, I've got a friend to help me put a PC together because I wouldn't be able to play this on my Mac. But see the Steam product webpage for more details. So that is some of the news from Gen Con. There's been so much of it. I've just about run out of time. It's amazing. I've managed to fill all the space by myself. I'm sure you've missed the banter. Now, often I do have a bit of banter with myself, but I try not to let it get out past the barrier of my lips usually. I hope you've been entertained here tonight and it hasn't been a disappointment. I've had a lot of fun being here by myself, but I must admit it has been a little bit nerve-wracking. Thanks to Ella for keeping me company. Thanks again to Area 52 as I said, Tasmania's most popular and best ventilated game store. Get in there and check out all the things you need to do. I will sign off and leave you. We'll see you here next week. Well, hopefully we'll have more than one Dice Man in the studio. Thanks so much for listening. You have a great evening.
You've been listening to another episode of The Dice Men Cometh. Thanks to Area 52, Hobart's best ventilated game store, and more. Find out more on area52.com.au. They support The Dice Men, and you can too, at Patreon, for as little as just $1 per month. It's not a lot to ask for podcasting gold.